This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the NWA Saturday Special, as my co-host calls you guys flunkies and junkies. I'm your co-host, Dr. G. George Robolino, along with my co-host, they call him the Podfather, the PTB Podfather, Scott Criscolo. Scotty, welcome. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Welcome. Hey, it's a great pleasure to be here. Thanks.
It's nice having you.
The pleasure's all yours.
Today we're going to break down the UWN Primetime Live show number 9.
Yes. The new bundle started this past week.
We'll probably have to fight for a little bit. You know, we always have – that's just the new thing on the show.
Well, some news – well, not necessarily about the episode. Good evening, right. Morning, afternoon, everyone.
Whatever.
The episode itself – was fine. We do have a final. We're down to the final two in the UWN World Title Tournament.
That's right.
And we have new NWA World Tag Team Champions. But I've got a bigger bone to pick this week.
Yeah, we're going to fight
news
now.
Found out and given to me by my main event cohort, Mr. Steve Willey. By the way, new episode this week. Why don't I get the plugs out of the way? It's been a great week on the PTB Wrestling Network. Oh, before I go any further, I think today, if you're listening to this on Saturday, there is a sale on TeePublic. There's deals on things. T-shirts are on sale, hoodies, etc. So go to TeePublic.com and type PTBW in the search and buy away, baby, for the winter. I still got to get my special relations hoodie. We had a great week here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. We had Ben Locke, Logan, and I believe your boy Sean Kidd did the most recent episode of Wrestling's Chicken Salad, 1999 Survivor Series. New Highway to the Impact Zone, Logan and the guys.
I just started listening to that this morning. I have to finish it up.
Oh, okay. I think it was – I want to make sure I get it right. Let me confirm what this week's episode was. They are looking at the 11th episode of Impact and weekly pay-per-view number 108. So check that out.
Yep.
Logan, Jake Williams, The Sooz, Lewis Maynard, good bunch of dudes. And after an extra week hiatus, we were able to get together. The Trio of Terror, myself, the Godfather, Podfather, Godfather, and the Conscience. With the newest episode of Main Event, we looked back at last week's AEW Full Gear and the things going on last weekend in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and including some big results of stuff that directly affect Wrestle Kingdom in January. And we looked ahead to Impact Wrestling's Turning Point show, which, again, if you're listening to this on Saturday, is tonight. So if you have Impact Plus, it's free. If you pay the $7.99 a month. It's on the network. It's on the Impact Plus network. It's not a full blown pay per view. As far as I know, Bound for Glory was the last full blown pay per view. I think they're going to do all their monthly shows via the Impact Plus stream. So there you go.
Kind of following the WWE model.
Yes, they are. And speaking of, we'll be back with back to back episodes of the Main Event this coming week, where we will preview next weekend's Survivor Series, speaking of the flamethrower. So stay tuned for that.
And you know what else is going to be premiering soon?
That's right. This coming Wednesday is episode number 5 of NWA Croc and Roll, as you boys did August of 1985.
Ooh.
Good month.
Very
good
fun month.
And got some surprises for everyone from the Croc and Roll Gang for December. I'm sure you knuckleheads made that announcement probably on the show. So so check that out. And having a chance to listen.
Six-man tag team champs, please. I prefer to be called.
Well, the only way you would is if you are. And since I have a belt, there's still a determination of who is the third man. Who is the third man? So this coming Wednesday, NWA Croc and Roll will drop. And this Monday, my PIC and I are back with the Place to Be podcast. The Mothership will be doing the June 3rd, 1991 Madison Square Garden house show, which includes, if you remember correctly, Dr. G, a pretty good Bret Hart match. I can't remember who he wrestled. I think it was the Barbarian. But the boot camp match, or Desert Storm match, I think it was called, between Hulk Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter in their rematch for the World Wrestling Federation Championship. So big MSG house show coming up this week on the Place to Be podcast, June 3rd, 1991. So great past week on the Place to Be Wrestling Network, and a good week coming up as well. So rate, subscribe, like,
review.
We're everywhere. We're on Amazon Music. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are everywhere. And that includes our other feeds, too, the Place to Be Nation Pop feed, the No-So, the Jenny Position, all those other great feeds as well. Okay, I like getting the plugs out of the way early when you and I do this show. So, all right, let us go now to this past Tuesday, episode number 9 of UWN Primetime Live. A new bundle begins. We open with the usual crew.
Oh, so you don't want to go with your bone to pick first?
No, I want to do that last because that was announced last. That was announced a minute ago. I want to do the show first. Okay. Then we'll have our weekly me screaming and you attempting to try to rationalize it. So we begin. We have, of course, the big this week's show had, of course, the semifinals of the UWN World Title Tournament, and we also had a tag team championship match. As our boys returned, Eli Drake and James Storm were defending the NWA World Tag Team Championships. But we'll begin. We did have some promos early on from all of the participants of matches tonight. After not having it last week, because they had to talk about all the changes to the brackets, they brought them back this week. So we had 5 matches total, the 2 semifinal matches, the tag title match. We have a women's match, actually a title match. No, not Serena Deeb, although she is part of my rant later. But another woman's title match. And then a tag team match that changed into a 6-man tag team match. But we'll get to that in a minute. We open the show with our first UWN World Title semifinal. And this was a good one. 2 power guys. Your boy, the Dirty Daddy, Chris Dickinson, taking on Fred Rosser. Of course, Fred Rosser defeated Eric Redbeard last week in the quarters. And the previous week, Chris Dickinson defeated Peter Avalon. But, of course, Fred Rosser came in with an arm brace on his right arm after Eric Redbeard fucked it up after their match last week, Episode 8. That, of course, was the focus of the match, was Chris Dickinson working on that arm. Fred Rosser did his best. He was a great face in peril, but eventually Chris Dickinson put him in like almost a Fujiwara armbar, very Brock Lesnar-ish. And Fred Rosser had to tap out. So Chris Dickinson,
it was the one of the first matches with Chris Dickinson that you actually saw him, wrestle.
Yes, I agree. A
longer match. It was, you saw a little bit more from him than just the power moves, which was nice. A little more well rounded, and I'm not totally shocked. I mean, I think we had him even in the previous brackets. We had him going to the finals. Anyway, so we're not totally shocked there, but a very good match, very competitive match. And, I'm looking forward to seeing Chris Dickinson in the finals because I'd be very, very shocked if he didn't win.
Well, it was a great match. And I agree with you that we didn't see as much pulvering, bludgeoning and a lot more technical moves. I think. Chris Dickinson was trying to show off, I guess, his in-ring skill, which I feel like we really haven't seen a ton of. I think we've seen a lot of bludgeoning. But Fred Rosser, to his credit, he's been working for You know, he's been doing a lot of work. He works for New Japan. He was in the New Japan Dojo show, the Strong show, last weekend as well. So he's in the West Coast area, and he's worked doing a ton. But he gets to the semifinals, put on a great match, but the arm injury would work to his detriment. And Chris Dickinson moves on to the finals to take on either Sean Devari or Mike Bennett. We'll get to that match a little bit later.
You know, a little old school booking there. You know, the previous week having his arm get injured and then having in the next match his opponent focus on that arm.
I agree with you 100%.
Eventually, that's how he gets beat. You know, kind of still keeps him strong because, you know, it was because of his injury, that, you know, the attack that he, you know, basically lost the match because he was not at 100%. So I like the booking there.
I do too. And I hope we see more Fred Rosser. Of course, he's been working on the West Coast. He worked this past Saturday at the New Japan Strong show at the dojo in Long Beach. Which included Carl Fredericks, actually. So he's in the area, and he's still going to keep working hard. He's working for New Japan in general. So going in and out with UWN, they have a working deal there. So good opening match. Again, I agree with you 100%. We saw more technical ability out of Chris Dickinson than we hadn't seen before, and he moves on to the final. So next up, the Real Money Brothers, our boys, Clutch Kucera and Sugar Brown. We're cutting a promo. They were in an interview, and in came 4 minutes of heat, Eddie Pearl and Ricky Gibson, who had these belts. They're not the UWN Tag Team Champions. That's still SoCal.
Defy.
Yeah. The Defy, which is a weird, they're weird looking belts. They're not my favorites. They started cutting some shit on the Real Money Brothers, and then in walks in Will Alday, who is the Texas heavyweight champion in the promotion.
Reality of Wrestling.
Yes.
Reality of Wrestling. Booker T's
promotion. He's their Texas. And the belt looks exactly like the old world-class Texas heavyweight title, which is actually kind of cool, to be honest with you.
That one I liked. I have to say, I'd definitely like to hear what our pal Sean Kidd. He's become the new belt junkie of the group, and I don't think he would have liked those Defy champions.
Let me tell you something.
I had a guess. I would say he didn't.
Him and I have fairly similar tastes in belts, as we are both connoisseurs. And if I don't like them, I can guarantee you he ain't gonna like them either. Will Alday, though, again had that Texas heavyweight title belt, which is very nice because it's very vintage. Looks exactly like the old world class Texas title.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I like that belt.
So all of a sudden, they start jaw-jacking, and this, instead of a tag team match, becomes a six-man tag because the Real Money Brothers start talking to some guy named Cam, who's some dude walking around smoking a jewel. I'm sure your daughter would love that. So he starts talking, and all of a sudden, this tag team match becomes a six-man tag team match. So the Real Money Brothers and Cam take on 4 minutes of heat and Will Alday. A lot of gold on that side.
My daughter would have smacked that right out of his mouth.
Yeah, pretty much. Smoking a fucking thumb drive. Unique six-man tag. First six-man tag we've had in the 9 episodes of Primetime Live. And I was thoroughly impressed. It was a good back and forth. Very quick. Will Alday. I mean, to Cam's credit, I think he's a good wrestler. I like the Real Money Brothers. Standard tag fare. And the Real Money Brothers and Cam get the win. Over the team that all three guys had belts. So that was pretty cool.
It's nice to see the Real Money Brothers get a win, too.
Yes, they had been struggling. They lost a couple of tough ones, and somebody needs to challenge SoCal Distancing for the UWN tag titles. Not much to say here otherwise. I mean, decent match. You know, maybe 2 stars, 2.25. Nothing earth-shattering, but I thought it was entertaining enough.
I think you and I were saying a lot of this now. I'm just getting tired. We're ready for a crowd. You know, in some of these matches, hey, listen, these guys are doing the best they can. So, I mean, we're not knocking the actual
not at all.
It's
not
the rest themselves. It's just like, oh, my gosh, I just want that crowd, that feel. Like, you knew that crowd would have been hot for the Chris Dickinson Fred Rosser match, no doubt about it. And it's just, I'm just really missing it now. I have missed it from the beginning, but it's just getting to a point now. It's just getting tired. I mean, and unfortunately, things are not getting any better right now with this whole virus thing. So I don't think we're going to see crowds for a while.
Right.
But we're trying to make the best of it. But sometimes it's just, it's just not the same.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And again, we can't take that away from wrestlers. Those guys and gals are all working their asses off.
Listen, it's hard to hate.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. One of the key things, and again, Doctor, you and I have been watching wrestling for a very, very long time. It's hard to gauge whether two guys, two gals, or two tag teams, or six-man tags, or whatever, are engaging the crowd. And maybe that kind of clean slates them as to whether or not they're putting on a great match. But it's kind of hard to say when you're dealing with no crowd to respond to whether or not what you're doing in the ring is working. So it's kind of hard to grade something when you don't have something that's giving you the edge, or whether or not you're giving an edge or not. It's very difficult. So again, no disrespect to the workers. It's not their fault.
No, it's not.
But it's very hard to gauge. I mean, every match is – you and I have been on here for the last 9 weeks of the Saturday special, and we've said this match is great, this match is – we've had one or two that we can clearly say were kind of stinkers. But otherwise, it seems like every match is awesome, and that's great, but – is every match awesome? It's hard to say because we don't have a meter.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really trying to break it down and you want to be, really technical about it, you probably could nitpick to death. But, I mean, overall, as long as it's keeping us engaged and we're able to sit and watch it, I'm going to say it's a pretty good match. If it's something that, I find myself going to my phone or wanting to go to the bathroom or something like that, then I know, okay, this is not really capturing my attention. So, it's just to a point where in all sports, like I didn't enjoy the baseball season. Just the regular sports, it just wasn't the same without that crowd feeling. There's just something the crowd brings to sporting contests.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I got to watch one of my teams. I mean, I sat here with this, watching the Lakers win their 17th world championship in an empty building. Well, except for family and, staff and stuff like that. But it was not the same than when I saw Kobe win his two in 2009 and 2010 or obviously the Shaq-Kobe combo in the early 2000s, or obviously not Showtime in the 80s, crowds help. It's difficult. It's difficult. And again, no disrespect at all to the wrestlers.
The talent's doing what they can do, because it's hard for them too. They don't know what's really working and what's not working. They're doing the best they can under the situation and, going by, I guess, when they get backstage, by the agents or whoever's, looking at, I don't want to say grading their matches, but, whoever's, in charge of the booking in the back. But it's just not the same. I know I don't want to sit here and belabor it to death. I'm sure everybody's feeling the same way at this point. But we're doing the best we can to try to break things down and try to get a little bit of that feel. I think we're frustrated because we want more NWA. And again, we don't know the whole deal. And I know we're going to get probably more into that later, but I don't know. It's like I said, I find ourselves going, yeah, pretty good match. But, has there been, a 5-star match that we've seen throughout this 9 weeks? No, but
the closest we came, I think the two closest for me was week one, Mike Bennett and the National Treasure, Nick Aldis. Remember him? He's the NWA World's Champion. It's been, 8 weeks since we've seen him. And probably Serena Deeb's win over Thunder Rosa. It was pretty close to 5 stars. Yeah. Those are probably the two closest, 5-star level matches we've had in the 9 weeks. But in any event, fun 6-man tag, and our boys, the Real Money Brothers and Cam, get the win. We have our first of two title matches on the evening, a women's championship match. No, not the Serena Deeb's NWA World Women's World Championship, but the future stars
of a bigger crowd, audience.
Hmm. The future stars of wrestling women's championship.
Ooh.
Who I think we've seen before. Lacey Ryan, the champion, who I think we've seen in an earlier episode, taking on Vipress, who we have seen in a past episode. They actually wrestled once before on UWM Primetime Live. Lacey Ryan got the win.
Those beginning interviews weren't too good.
No, they were not. No, those promos were rough. They did wrestle a few episodes ago. Lacey Ryan got the win in a roll-up. Vipress bitched that it was cheap. They wrestle again. Very good match. And Lacey Ryan retains her FSW Women's Championship. Yeah, again, nothing crazy.
Women's matches haven't been bad, you know.
But some of these, and we're not picking on the ladies, obviously, because there have been some guys too. But some of these opening show promos are rough. Rough. They need to go down to Tampa to the Orlando to the Performance Center and sit in the booth with Triple H and watch their promos because, woo, needs work.
Trips.
Yep. Hey, nobody else. Look, if you're going to do a 40-minute promo, at least make it good.
Then they got the wrong guy teaching them.
Oh! What do you want them to do, drink beer and stand in a beer truck? Only one guy could do that. Anyway.
What?
What are you wearing? Are you wearing your what shirt right now?
you know, when we record this, I think we get a little slap happy after a while.
Yeah, like, and I don't even have any. I'm not even drinking right now. Speaking of beer,
and we're not even drinking.
No, that's I wish I did. Scary part. I got a ton of it in the fucking fridge too. These two wrestled a few weeks ago for Lacey Ryan's FSW Women's Title. It was a good match, and Lacey Ryan retains. The promos were a little rough, but the match was good. The match was good. The one thing I will say about these rosters on the West Coast, this UWN collective, whether it's, you know, Hollywood, Phoenix, whatever, they are sound workers. Like, I haven't, again, very rarely, because it, I mean, again, the crowds for us,
we haven't seen like a negative star match.
Yeah, we've seen one or two matches that have been kind of. But we really haven't seen like a bona fide stinker, like a zero stars. One thing about this collective of indie talent on the West Coast, working with Dave Marquez and in Hollywood and Phoenix or whatever, in that whole area, they are very sound performers. You could tell these are not flippy floppies that spent their indie careers jumping off fucking basketball hoops and gym bleachers. And that's all they know how to do.
That's true. And you know, the other thing, Scott, is that before the pandemic, you know, the independents were hot.
Very hot.
There was so many of them. There was so many companies out there. There was a lot of places for people to work. So they're able to really cut their teeth. Yep. And it's just a shame that all this happened because it's really for many different reasons, obviously. But, you know, if we're just getting in our little wrestling bubble – it's really hurt in the fact that, they're not able to work as consistently. And at least with this UWN, some of these ladies and men are able to get some work in once in a while. But I know that some shows were starting back up again in certain areas. But again, now things are starting to get more locked down again. So I think, we're in for another rough few months. But it's I like you said, I have not seen I think these West Coast guys on these West Coast independents, I haven't seen anything that's like really horrible. Now, could some of them use work on their promo skills? No doubt.
Yes.
No doubt.
Yeah. So so Lacey Ryan retains the Future Stars of Wrestling Women's Championship. Before our next match, we get a promo for those masks, the lucha masks, the masks, the pandemic masks, I guess. And then we get a promo or an interview, and in walks Baby Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith Jr. So again, obviously nothing to do with a pandemic thing or maybe a traveling, let's put it this way, it had nothing to do with traveling COVID because obviously he's not stuck in England or whatever. So maybe he just wasn't available last week, but he says he's here in the UWN and he's going to make a difference. So I'm glad to see Baby Bulldog here. One thing that I forgot about, because I remember him cutting promos when he was with the Hart Dynasty in WWE, is he does not have a British accent. He sounds very – well, don't forget he's half British and half Canadian. So with a hint of American since Helen was from Long Island. So anyway, he doesn't sound like his dad. Let's put it that way. He says power slam, not power slam. The mighty warlord. But we love Bulldog, particularly on the Place to Be podcast, because we know JR loves Bulldog. So anyway, we are in our timeline, he's in a tremendous feud with the warlord. That's why I say the warlord. So I'm happy, Dr. G, that Davey Boy Smith Jr. is around. Maybe a guy that some familiarity would be.
Well, he was my winner in the tournament originally.
Yes, you did pick him. And guess what? Not there.
Well, what am I? Did I know this was going to happen? All right. Give me a break.
Give me a break. I don't know. Sorry.
We need our coffee. Never mind.
I never mind Sean Kidd's coffee at fucking 9:04 on a Saturday morning. Anyway. So Davey Boy Smith Jr. is in the area.
Start with the show earlier. Shawnee likes to get up early. He's kind of like me. So maybe we need to start dropping this thing at like 5:30 in the morning or something like that.
No. anyway, next up, we have our second title match of the evening. Indeed, the NWA World Tag Team Championship. Your champions, Eli Drake and the Cowboy James Storm. I think we kind of know where this is going. About your damn luck, which we might have heard for the last time in the NWA UWN collective. And Aaron Stevens, Shooter Stevens, comes out. Did he go all the way to Mongrovia to get the question mark? The answer is no. Out comes J.R. Kratos. Now, for those that don't remember him, he's that big dude with kind of the funny, devilish-looking goatee beard that lost to Mike Bennett a few weeks ago on Primetime Live. Good worker, big, burly, you know, ground and pound guy. And it was a pretty good tag title match. And with some shenanigans, the reign is over. Not a surprise. Aaron Stevens and J.R. Kratos are your new NWA World Tag Team Champions. Again, no surprise, because guess what? James Storm is wrestling Saturday tonight. If you're listening to this on Saturday, he's at Impact's Turning Point pay-per-view tonight in a tag match with Chris Sabin against...
he did the right thing to drop the titles.
So he went out the door, and you knew he would. I mean, James Storm's a pro. We've always known that, so yes. I don't think there was ever a question about that. This does tell you, though, that Aaron Stevens is committed to the NWA, you know.
Yes.
He's the first person.
He's hysterical. He really is. Is this the third degree NWA World Tag Team?
Oh, must be. Now, I don't know what kind of promo skills J.R. Kratos has. I don't remember if he cut a promo the week he fought Mike Bennett. I'm assuming he did. Kratos is another guy.
Wasn't memorable, so.
Yeah. Well, Kratos is another guy that wrestled last weekend at the NJPW Strong show in Long Beach from the New Japan Dojo. So he's getting around. So he's a well-known West Coast guy. And he's got some NWA gold, so he earned it. I don't know what Eli Drake's future is. Maybe he's a guy that goes after DePope, Elijah Burke, maybe a little TV title feud action. Or maybe he goes after Trevor Murdoch, or fuck it, go after the National Treasure. Who knows? Who knows what happens between now and the future for Eli Drake? We know that James Storm is in Impact because he is wrestling tonight. Again, if you're listening to this on Saturday, he is wrestling tonight at the Turning Point show in a tag match with Chris Sabin against, is it Triple XL? I think it's Triple XL, AC Romero and his partner. So we knew it was coming. Good match. I'm going to miss James Storm in the NWA. I kind of dug him.
Me too.
Just for, you know, if you have it, if you bought it, or if you want to buy the DVD, watch the match with him and James Storm, him and Nick Aldis back in December at Into the Fire, because that was a great match.
Well, you know, you put two guys that were totally opposite, Eli Drake and James Storm. That's what I liked about it. And then I liked the promo at the beginning when they were in the deli.
They were in the deli. That was good. That was really good. That was really good. I mean, James Storm could be back. Who knows? You know, Impact doesn't work like anybody else does, so... but for now, Aaron Stevens, and J.R. Kratos are your NWA World Tag Team Champions. And now our final match of the evening, the other semifinal match, the winner to face Chris Dickinson in the tournament final. It is Sean Daivari, who, by the way, is wrestling at Turning Point tonight as well, taking on Mike Bennett. This was a fun match.
It's a match.
It's a fun match. Back and forth. Very different, of course, from Chris Dickinson and Fred Rosser because two smaller guys. Mike Bennett hits that. I mean, he smacked and he crushed. Obviously, the big move of the match. He crushed Daivari with that pile driver on the table. Smashed a table. You know, reminiscent.
Yeah, was that
of
one of those plastic like Costco tables?
Yeah. Reminiscent of Cactus Jack, pile driving Triple H on the table on that 1997 Raw from MSG. Very similar to similar angle too. Then he hits the pile driver back in the ring, gets a three count, and as your boy predicted, even before the brackets were moved, your UWN World Title Tournament final is Chris Dickinson and Mike Bennett. First off, Dr. G, your thoughts on this match, and secondly, what do you think about our final?
Well, you know, the match, I really enjoyed it. I a good table spot. Again, that's what's great about stuff like this. Since we've been watching the shows, you don't see these, you know, crazy spots every single match every week. So it made that fun. Mike Bennett is definitely, you know, a guy they want to push. It looks like Mike Bennett and Chris Dickinson. I mean, I think that's a great final. I'm really looking forward to that match. I mean, what's a better finals and all the stuff that we've been watching over the 9 weeks and some of the guys that that we really liked over these 9 weeks is these two guys. So I think this is perfect. I think either one wins, you're in good shape. I'm still going to go with Dickinson though. I think it's good to start off with a heel champion, especially someone like him.
Hmm.
What do you think? Are you still going with Dickinson, or are you going with Matt Bennett as your winner?
I'm going to stick with my pick from the very beginning, and I'm going with Mike Bennett. I think it's kind of his, I don't want to say his consolation prize, but I think bringing a guy like Mike Bennett in and have him put over Nick Aldis, I think he needs kind of a reward for that, and I think this is the reward. I don't think Chris Dickinson's going anywhere. I think he's pretty much locked in here. I think Bennett deserves to be the inaugural champion to give the title some credibility and then let – and then
I mean, like, you can't go wrong with either guy. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Both guys – I just think Mike Bennett is a more known national name. The guy had immense cred in Ring of Honor, and, of course, he was in WWE. So I think you want to give that title some credibility, give it to a guy that the wrestling nation knows, then – maybe start building a feud, then maybe in like a month or so or something, then maybe see Chris Dickinson take it from him if Mike Bennett maybe moves on to something else.
I'm going to go with Dickinson, but I mean, either way, like I said, the company's not going to go wrong. So
no, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. So there you go. There is the episode number 9 of UWN Primetime Live. Not a bad show. All 5 matches were solid. It's good to see Davey Boy Smith Jr. in there. We had a title change, new NWA World Tag Team Champions. I was a little discouraged when Todd Kennelly and the guys gave us a rundown of episode 10 this coming Tuesday. Now, this may, you know, we may get a surprise match, but we had zero NWA got talent announced.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I and I know our pal Sean, he's and probably Callum's probably feeling the same way. You know, these guys we're like big NWA guys. I think we're kind of getting tired of it. We want our NWA. I mean, we've seen some great other talent. Don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to Dickinson and Bennett in the finals for the UWN world title. But, you know, we want a little bit more of the national treasure. You know, I think everybody's yearning for that. And yes, we've seen some title changes with the NWA, and the NWA matches have all been, you know, pretty good for the most part. But we really want to see a little bit more NWA, and again, we just don't know what the deal is there. So,
but we're not getting enough creative. I need some storylines. I need some interviews.
Yeah.
I understand you're giving me 90 minutes, but I have no problem with you cutting a match off and giving me some sit-down interviews or some more promos or some shoving matches or some
Well, that's what we like about Power.
Yeah, that's what I liked about NWA Power.
Like Saturday night.
Yeah, we needed some stuff. Just having matches and then end the show is not good enough. We
didn't know a lot of these guys in their background. I know the announcers did a pretty good job sometimes of giving a little background about the guys from the West Coast promotions. But, you know, even with the NWA stuff, they don't really give a lot of background. You know, Aaron Stevens was involved in a bunch of, storylines, Eli Drake and James Storm. You know, I don't know. You're right. I think, you know, even if you have, you know, cut out those promos in the beginning, that 2-3 minutes and split up, give, you know, even if you gave a 35-40 seconds, even a minute to give these guys just to give a little promo, kind of like a little, jaw jacking and kind of set something up rather than, you know, match, you know. I agree with you. I understand it's a pay-per-view and people are paying for it, so you want to have more action. But the action needs to mean
something. That is action. You don't have to just pay for matches. You want to pay for a show. And I think we need more – we need some more stuff. We need some storylines instead of just I understand that the world title tournament is a storyline. But we get these promos at the beginning of the show and then match. Good night.
Or even have if one of the guys are feuding with each other, have them come out during their match and sit with the announcers.
Chris Dickinson,
you already have three.
Why didn't Chris Dickinson come out during that last match?
Right.
He
like,
should have
had them. You know how like Aaron Stevens was on the one time and he was grabbing the mic and he was talking, you know, have something like that.
Exactly. Have Chris Dickinson go on commentary. Have Great Value Tony Schiavone take a back seat. Have Chris Dickinson sit there and talk about the match, you know, and, you know, start some shit. And then instead of Mike Bennett staring longingly at the belt, have fucking Dickinson jaw jacking in his face. Have a shoving match, brawl or some shit. Something.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
You know, I think we were pretty kind with all this because we were just happy to have something, you know, to have a little NWA. But I think we mostly watch all these together and we're kind of getting to the point where we're getting a little agitated. Maybe we're just getting a little ornery in our older age, or we're just getting tired of all this no crowd and we want our NWA back. And, you know,
I mean, listen, they've done a fantastic job of cultivating these wrestlers. But if I'm Billy Corgan, I'm like, Dave, to Dave Marquez, I'm like, all right, Dave, I get that you've given us a platform, but all right, it's been like 80-20. Between you, by the way, the Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, they still have their weekly shows. It's not like this is their only show. The Championship Wrestling from Hollywood,
and they may be getting some fans that are buying it because of those guys. But let's be honest with you. I mean, we know what 4 or 5 guys ourselves that are only buying this because we wanted to see some NWA because we fell in love with the new NWA with the Power and. And you know, their pay-per-views and you know, the stuff on YouTube. So, you know, you got to give us a little something. But like I said, we don't know what the deal is and how it was structured. Or, you know, I think right now Billy's just trying to find ways to keep his guys and gals working. Number one, so they stay loyal to the NWA, but also keep the NWA name relevant. That's all I can really say about that.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, and again, I said this last week through the first 8 episodes, that my 2 favorite guys, and we've seen them both more than once, is obviously Danny Limelight, who also wrestled on that New Japan Strong show last weekend. And obviously the other guy, and our friend Sean Kidd is kind of goading it on Twitter, is our guy Alex Hammerstone.
And I wish there was somebody from the NWA we could get on the show to just talk and see if we could get a little direction. I don't know if we'd be able to get Billy. That would be kind of cool. But
I've tried. I've private messaged him on Twitter.
I'm sure he gets a million private messaging. So there's a million, but I would love to just get a little something to find out what's going on. Maybe we try Dave Marquez and see maybe he give us a perspective from the UWN perspective.
We've had it with all your silly UWN guys.
I don't know if I'm going to attack him, but we just find out what's going on, because there could be something more to the agreement than we know. I would have to think that at least I would say a good percentage of the people that are buying this because, they want to see their NWA guys. I could be wrong, but that's just my opinion. What do you think? A good percentage of the, I'm not saying like it's, 95% because people want to see NWA guys. I would say it's like 60, 40, 70, 30, somewhere around there, 70% or 60% of the people wanted to see the NWA, or they started buying it because they were into the NWA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm only just going by a small sampling just of the people we know.
Right.
Of why they're buying it. So.
Anyway, we will be back. We're going to keep watching because we've been enjoying it, and we've invested in it, and there are a lot of some of these newer wrestlers on the West Coast that we've kind of latched onto,
I would definitely for the price, I would give it a shot. I think you can't go wrong with this finals, Chris Dickinson and Fred Rosser for the UWN. Mike Bennett, for the UWN World Title. I don't think you'd go wrong there. So just even for that.
Well, we don't know when that's going to – it's not this week.
Yeah, we don't.
They're going to let that marinate. Maybe we will get a promo package, or maybe we will get the two of them. Maybe they'll do they won't do a contract signing because they're in a tournament. But maybe we'll get some byplay between the two of them. Who knows?
Yeah,
but next week,
I've been enjoying it. But I think sometimes we get a little antsy. We want to see our NWA guys, but maybe they'll set something up next week for the following week. Who knows?
We'll see. We know Ray Rosas will be defending that. West Coast Pro title next week, and I think there's a women's match as well, and some. So there will be some matches. Though obviously there will be a show next week, obviously, and we'll be here on the Saturday special to recap episode number 10. But we do know for a fact, because they would have promoted it, the final is not this coming episode between Chris Dickinson and Mike Bennett. So maybe they're going to let that marinate for a week or so. Or they may wait until – I mean, this makes sense. They may wait until episode 12 to make you buy the next bundle. That's usually what they do. Yeah. Usually the last episode of the bundle is the one that's the juiciest. Yeah,
they can't stretch it out too long, though. You have to
give yourself
a champion.
Yeah, you know, I would. I don't think I would have done all of the quarterfinals last week. I would have stretched it out and maybe did a semifinal this week and a semifinal next week. But,
I mean, I'm dying to see how they're going to book the match, because depending on because both guys, I think they really want to invest in, and you don't want to have one look weaker than the other. You want to have it where maybe a few could start between whoever wins, whoever's the champion, like a rematch, or whoever does lose, is able to go on to another feud and still be strong to be a possible contender in the future.
I agree with you. All right, so there's episode 9. There's your recap. You could still buy it on Fight TV and get the replay, and we will be we will recap episode 10 next week. The only news that came out a few minutes ago, actually, breaking from my good friend Steve Willey from the Main Event. This past weekend at AEW Full Gear, on the pre-show, Serena Deeb defended the Women's World title against former NWA superstar Allison Kay. As far as we know, Allison Kay is not in AEW. She was just there to do the match. Deeb retained the title. Apparently, from what Steve Willey told me, it was a very good match. So,
not
we have got the announcement. No, not a surprise at all. And I remember telling, remember you, and I said this on Main Event this past week. Remember I was saying to you in the beginning, I was not a fan of Allison Kay. I did not like her in the ring. I thought she was sloppy and kind of lumbering. But she definitely made great strides, and I think she's an exceptional talent now. So kudos to her. She really worked her ass off. But then Steve Willey said to me right before we fired up the machine tonight.
They love to tweet you.
Is Serena Deeb is giving Thunder Rosa her contractually obligated rematch for the NWA Women's World Championship. And I said to him, is it going to be on Primetime Live this week? He says, no, it is on this week, though. It's going to be on AEW Dynamite.
Yep. So, what are you going to rant about?
It's bullshit.
Why is it bullshit?
Because number one, it once again proves that the AEW women's division is garbage because they already have a champion. It's Shida, and the rest of that division is trash. Thank you, Kenny Omega. You don't know how to book. Stick to matches and looking weird in the ring. And number two, this is not the NWA.
Okay,
they should have their own stage. The NWA is getting the big
platform right now.
No, that's it's not.
National television.
It's disrespect.
And
no.
you're not going to get the same exposure on UWN. I'm sorry.
The belt is being disrespected.
Why do you feel the belt's being disrespected? This is something
this
that
is not NWA. It's another promotion.
Advertising right now.
Why should AEW get the benefit of that rematch? Why can't UWN get the benefit of that rematch?
Well, again, that's you have to ask Billy.
You're not getting me to watch Dynamite.
It's not Tony Khan saying, Billy, this is what we're doing. Billy has to agree to this. Billy owns the NWA. He owns that title.
Why did he even bother?
You know what? They're
making a deal out with Dave then for UWN Primetime Live then. Why didn't he make a deal with the cons?
But again, we're sitting here speculating. I have no idea what the contract is, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I would love to get somebody on to speak to what the deal is between the NWA and the UWN.
Through many sources, that TNT was approached the NWA for AEW slot, and Dave did, and not Dave Marquez, and Billy didn't take it. So instead of having a show all to himself on TNT, he's going to play second fiddle to the garbage women wrestlers that AEW has. And they have to use the NWA Women's World title.
Yeah, but they're not – do you hear – I mean, the AEW announcers are not putting down the NWA World Women's Championship. That gives exposure. Remember, NWA is not the same name as it was back in the 80s. I mean, it's kind of been irrelevant since like 1990. So this is a chance for the NWA to get in front of people's eyes more than you would by doing UWN again.
So we cannot watch them on UWN Primetime Live. What's the
expense? I would like to see it on UWN, but again, my point is that if Billy's signing off on this, then he's the one you got to be mad at. You can't be mad at AEW.
I am a little irritated because he didn't want the fucking deal with TNT to begin with. So why is he going to play second fiddle?
We definitely know that was the case, though.
Well, do you think we were lied to? Now you're opening a whole other can of worms. Stop being a contract sucker. Just agree with me, will you? Now suddenly our source was lying to us? Come on.
I'm not saying the source is lying, but we don't know the whole deal. I mean, obviously, whatever the reason was, but nobody knew this was going to happen. Again, pandemic changed everything. It changed the whole direction.
So let me ask you something then. If there's not enough exposure that the NWA has on UWN, then what exposure are they gaining by being on Dynamite when they're not anywhere else?
Well, it's keeping things relevant, and it's giving their...
But to go where? To not be on Primetime Live?
It's keeping the championships and the NWA name relevant until they figure out what they're going to do.
It does make me laugh now, though. They need Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa to carry that garbage women's division. and they're garbage.
Well, the women's division is not that great, and that's obviously why the NWA
what the fuck they're doing.
Some of the NWA women are there, but you know, I know the hatred you have for AEW, but you it's not there. This is something they're doing something for Billy. They don't have to have the NWA involved.
Well, they choose taking it because their women's division is garbage.
Well, Serena Deeb's already on their roster, so,
and she's somebody else's champion. What does that tell you? They're idiots. Kenny Omega runs that women's division.
This is the guy who tells me when I'm sitting there watching SmackDown when you walk into my house going, what are you watching this shit for?
So thank you. You just proved my point that I'm not a homer, which you constantly bitch to me about every fucking week.
Well, you obviously are because you're always ripping into AEW, so that means...
But it has nothing to do with AEW. It has to do with the fact that that instead of this being on Primetime Live, because the whole fucking point of this agreement was to give the NWA a platform until all this bullshit ends and we can have power back and Billy and everybody can go back to Atlanta.
But how many people do you think are really watching UWN or buying it as compared to what?
So if Dynamite is being used to expose the company to what? Yay, we just watched Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa in a 5-star match because none of the other women could barely have a 2.5-star match in that company. Then what? Then what?
Again, there could be an end. We don't know. Again, we have no idea what direction since Dave Lagana's been gone. We don't, and then the pandemic. We have no idea what the future of the NWA is. Obviously, Billy's working on things behind the scenes. We know that he is working, obviously, with Tony Khan. We don't know if there's going to be something there. Is it going to be something – they're going to go back to YouTube? Are they going to continue this UWN relationship? We don't know, and this is what's frustrating. And I think it's frustrating all of us, as I was saying. We're frustrated. We haven't seen Nick Aldis. We want to see him on TV. So, you know, I know Sean was hoping that maybe he'd show up on Dynamite, you know, and – you know, that hasn't happened. So we really don't know. And it's frustrating. I get where your frustration is. But I mean, I'm happy to see that Thunder Rosa is actually, you know, she's getting a payday by being on AEW and being on Dynamite. And that's what matters to me is making sure that the talent so the NWA can keep this talent to see where they're going to go in the future. We just don't know what the future is. And I think that's what's frustrating to us right now. I mean, would you agree? I mean, aren't you frustrated? Like, you know, what's going on with the NWA? Are they going back to YouTube? Are they going to do, you know, what the hell are they going to do? We don't know.
No, we don't know. And that's I'll be honest with you. If there could be a minimum number of fans, then just go back to fucking Atlanta, start power again, and just make like 50 fans. They'll still be loud, they'll still be raucous, and it'll be your fucking product.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's probably now not going to happen for a few months until, you know, numbers start going down again. But
this has nothing to do with it. This is actually a case.
If we were back in phase three again, you know, we were in phase three, I'd say yes, definitely. Get 50 fans in there and get this thing going. Get power back on the air. But again, it's so frustrating because I mean, we really haven't heard much from Billy. We want to know what's going on. You know, everybody wants to know what's going on.
I would be just as upset if they were wrestling on NXT or on Raw or on SmackDown. I'm making that point very clear. And if you don't want to believe me, you can always go to the Jenny position.
NWA is NWO would never be acknowledged in WWE.
I'd like to have you and I'd like to see you and Jenny do a show about the Pluto TV show she does, where you watch your favorite Pluto TV channel. I'd like to see you do that. You guys could talk about Three's Company already was taken, but
Three's Company, awesome.
Yeah, I know. She already did that with Steve Bennett. She'll have to find. There's another show you could do. I don't know. Good Times, I think. Isn't Good Times on there? I don't know. Anyway, my point is nothing to do with AEW. Of course, it's coincidental, so of course you think that I fucking hate AEW, so I'm pissed off. I'd be pissed off if it was on Impact. I'd be pissed off. It should be on Primetime fucking Live, okay, because so right now that is the NWA's platform. If they gave if they had a guy, if they didn't have a fucking space cadet running their women's division, they wouldn't need fucking Serena Deeb defending the NWA women's title against Thunder Rosa on Dynamite because Sheeta could wrestle one of those other talentless hacks. Where's the fucking dentist? She seems like she's been hurt for like 9 months now.
Well, I think that they're, you know, I think, yeah, AEW definitely, they know their women's division is not strong. I think they realize that.
Right, well, they wouldn't take this match. They wouldn't have had an NWA World Title match on their buy-in show.
You know, they are working with other. I mean, they're being a little different from WWE because they obviously they don't have a performance center and all that. And they are working with some of the independents and bringing some of those guys and gals over to.
If Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa wrestled a non-title singles match Wednesday on Dynamite, I would have no problem. I didn't have a problem when Thunder Rosa was there the first time and when she had the tag with Eva Lise. I had no problem with that. But that rematch belongs on Primetime Live. That's the NWA's platform. I don't give a fuck. I mean, who's not watching? Who's not buying? And who's buying it?
Selfishly,
I agree
with you. I agree with you that it. You know, I'd love to see it on UWM, but I understand why it's not. You know, I guess is what.
Maybe they should get off their ass and promote it better and get people to fucking buy it. And then maybe pump it up for like 2 or 3 weeks. Get people engaged. And then maybe episode, you know what, jack it up for that 12th episode, the last episode before the next bundle, and have the finals of the tournament, have Nick Aldis defend Sweet Charlotte, and have Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa in a rematch. How fucking hard is it? Oh no, we gotta have fucking the Friendship Club or whatever, or we gotta watch the fucking Real Money Brothers for the 80th time. I love those tag teams, but they've been on like 6 times. It's time.
Listen.
Balance the roster here, and if people are if there's people like you and I are much more, we're getting more open minded with the UWN talent. But yeah, there are probably people out there that are buying Primetime Live to watch the NWA. And if they're not seeing those guys, they're not going to buy it. For Dave Marquez to promote that part of the country, then frankly, I feel kind of snooty.
Again, we don't know what the relationship is. And I think that's what's frustrating more than anything is that we don't know why this relationship is and what the NWA was supposed to get out of this. So, all right. So if you selfishly, I would want to see that match be on UWN because that's what we're buying and that's what we're watching and that's what we're reviewing every week. I'm happy for Thunder Rosa to be able to have that exposure on a national pretty highly rated wrestling program and getting her, you know, getting some eyes on her. But for us, who's over here in the UWM world, we want to see more NWA, and that's just simple as that. God, what happened? When did I become the calm one and you become the crazy one? What the
because
hell
you just
accept
it because you've just caved. You just cave. You cave to the man. You cave to the cons. You become a Jaguars fan. You burned all your fucking Eli stuff.
No.
You wear your little
Minshew
jersey and your little
fucking. You know what? No, because I
Leonard listen, Fournette. Leonard Fournette's not even a Jaguar anymore.
The AEW at times they got some long ways to go. I don't understand why, and this goes for both sides. You know, just I guess it's kind of just the way the world is today. Everybody's got to be right. Why can't people? We're wrestling fans. Can't we just enjoy both shows? Who cares?
No.
You know, now these days you could watch things. Nope. You don't have to watch it live. You could DVR it and watch it at another time, or you know. So I just I don't get it. I don't get where it's two totally different companies. AEW is doing things a lot different than WWE, so it gives a little taste. It's kind of like how WCW and WWF when they existed, they would just did things differently. It's you know, maybe it's this flavor is a little bit better for somebody else.
The difference was back then. We've had this discussion a zillion times. Back then, everybody watched everything. We watched both Raw and Nitro. And they give you the opportunity to because the difference is there's no war here between shows because, you know, everybody from my buddy Mike and his brother on the Squared Circle Psycho Babble on YouTube, Everybody talks about ratings. Nobody fucking cares about ratings anymore. Oh, Dynamite did better than NXT. Vince doesn't give a shit because NXT is going to be on the network the next day. So who gives a fuck? There is no war going on between these two companies. You know,
well, yeah, kind of and I think right now at this point, I don't think there's a war going on anywhere because I think these companies are just worried about how they're going to get through, getting through this pandemic at this point.
I've really been enjoying Impact. I would like to have seen Thunder Rosa. Problem is, Impact's women's division is fucking good. Is good. Su Yang's the champion. Deonna Purrazzo, another one who got spurned by WWE, so they fucked up because she's really good.
I think what's frustrating old WWE fans that are now going to AEW is that, and again, this could change when they become bigger or whatever, but AEW just seems to be a little bit more fan-friendly. You know, it's kind of like, you know, after a while, you know, people feel like the, and I know this because I'll try to relate it to baseball, being a Yankees fan. You know, people feel like, oh, after a while, the Yankees just, you know, sometimes they take their fans for granted. And I think at times the organization does. And I think sometimes WWE takes their fans for granted sometimes. Because, again, we all know the WWE is there to impress one person and one person only. And until that person's not here anymore, that's the way the company's going to be, you know, booked.
All right. So, anyway, I'm pissed. You're trying to fix it. Fuck you, Kenny. You run a women's division like garbage. So you got to borrow somebody else's title match.
The thing is I don't want to compare AEW. That's the thing. If you're truly mad just because you want it to be on Primetime Live, because, you know, obviously selfishly we want to see the match, I'm fine with that. I'll take that argument any day, because I agree. I would love to see it on the UWN too. I watched the show with you. So, but if you're going to compare it because it's AEW, if you're telling me that you feel the same way if it was on WWE, then I'm fine with that. Then
I just said that 5 minutes ago.
No, I know that. But that's what I'm saying to you. If you're going to say that,
yes,
then I'm fine with that.
They need to make a mega show. They really need to pump the shit out of. They need to pump the shit out of. This episode 12, the last episode of the bundle, and jack that fucker up. You got to have the finals of the tournament. Dickinson and Bennett. Have Nick Aldis defend Sweet Charlotte. Have this Serena Deeb Thunder Rosa rematch. Jack the fuck out of that show. If you want to keep having people buy these bundles, you got to give them their money's worth. And frankly, a show like next week with no NWA workers at all, it's not going to get people to buy it.
No.
You want mainstream, you need mainstream. And they're not doing that.
I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't make me. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. And I've enjoyed some of the, you know, seeing some different talent. But I'm not excited about it right now. Like, I'm not like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see the episode this week.
Yeah, this week is going to be.
Listen, we don't work for UWN, so I care less what they say. Or, you know, I'm not happy right now. But. Maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised. Who knows?
Maybe somebody will show up. Maybe we'll get Nick Aldis. I cannot believe we have not seen Nick Aldis since week one. It's crazy.
We love you, Nick.
We do love you, National Treasure. Why do you think I'm so upset? If I didn't love you, I wouldn't care.
But you have to go and watch the series, though, about Tim Storm and Nick Aldis.
Part two dropped on YouTube today, yesterday or Friday, I guess.
These are very, very well produced. So
yeah, they are.
If you get a chance, go on YouTube, NWA, look it up, subscribe to the NWA page if you haven't, and go watch it.
Yeah, it's really
the
good.
NWA. I'm going to pump up. I don't care. I don't work for them, but I'm going to be a shill. So
I agree. Hey man, another great episode in the books.
Yes, I hope everybody enjoyed their coffee and, you know, didn't spit up their coffee because
got pissed off like I did and threw their mug across the not NWA Saturday special mug that you bought on TeePublic either. Don't throw those against the wall. Anyway, Dr. G, always a pleasure. He's great. You'll hear him later this week, Wednesday, when the newest episode of NWA Croc and Roll drops, August of 85. You, the kid, and Callum McDougal, and your special guest, one of my favorite people that I finally got to do a pod back and forth with, good old Mr. Scott Shiflett, who is, of course, one of the...
It was great to have him on.
Scott's a good guy. I was able to do, I was honored over on the Pop feed to do the Blockbuster Rewind show with him, Eric Eales, and Mr. Atherton.
Matter of fact, I even said to him, I want to get him on the special. I think it's time for him to come on the special.
But only if he supports that AEW should get nothing ever in history. No, only kidding. Anyway, we'll get Scott Shiflett on because he's awesome. And anyway, enjoy the feed. Have a great weekend. We'll have a great show. We'll have a great feed next week. New Place B podcast, Croc and Roll, new main event. And, of course, the Doctor and I will be back next Saturday for we will recap episode 10, and maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised. We'll see. Have a good weekend. He's the Doctor.
Now,
doctors should run the women's division.